bertemu kembali. Peer-to-peer financing berkembang signifikan sejak beberapa tahun lepas dengan kewujudan pelbagai produk untuk pelabur mengikut selera risiko mereka. Namun timbul persoalan bagaimana P2P ini mampu merapatkan jurang pembiayaan untuk PKS yang berdepan kesukaran pada tempoh ketika ini. Bagaimana pula soal pengurusan pelabur yang pastinya mahukan jaminan supaya pelaburan mereka berbaloi? Kita bersama dengan pengasas platform P2P, co-founder Paul Kwan yang bersedia pada ketika ini. Paul, thank you so much for joining us. Co-founder, co-founder is the latest entrant into the growing P2P ecosystem in Malaysia and of course, headed by you, a veteran in the banking industry. Share with us, how has the journey been so far?
Good morning, Najib.
Good morning.
Firstly, thank you and Astro Avani for having me on. It has been a very interesting, at the same time, learning experience for us. As you know, this is fairly new in the market, and we are very excited about the plans that we have in place. The interesting part is that there is a trend now that has been leading towards more digitalization. We see more online searches going for when you're looking for financing. There'll be a lot more SMEs are going online. So this has truly been a very interesting journey for us.
Can you also explain to our viewers on the alternative financing such as the P2P or peer-to-peer financing industry landscape and the situation in Malaysia, considering that the business is to be fairly new in this country?
As you know, there are many entrepreneurs and SMEs in Malaysia with workable ideas. And all this company needs funding to sustain and to grow their business. However, raising capital can be a tedious process, it can be costly, and at times it can be quite disappointing for micro, small, and medium enterprises. So as a result, this has been reported that there is a funding gap of Ringgit Malaysia 80 billion in the market for this sector. Hence, as an alternative, the Securities Commission introduced peer-to-peer financing under a regulated environment in 2016, solely with the purpose to promote financial inclusion for micro, small, and medium enterprises. Today, we're very encouraged by the response that we received. Just recently at the SE by SE event, the SE chairman, Dato' Syed Zaid Alba, highlighted that once again, peer-to-peer financing and as well as equity crowd financing has been able to meet and support the funding needs of the micro, small and medium enterprises. This, of course, is seen in the numbers in terms of growth in just the first 6 months of 2021, where we saw the number of successful campaigns increase from the end of last year to the middle of this year by almost 42%. And the amount raised was from 1.14 billion at the end of 2020 to 1.67 billion, an increase of 46% in just the past 6 months. So although this is something new in the market, we believe as more and more micro, small and medium enterprises, as well as retail investors, get more familiarized with this innovative concept. At the same time, if the along with the support from the SE to drive greater adoption of digital capabilities and investor participation in the market, we believe that peer-to-peer financing will be a key enabler in rebuilding the economy as we recover from this pandemic.
And also, Paul, co-founder also provides a new and more niche P2P product, so to say, business insurance premium financing or IPF. Co-founder's IPF note allows basically investors to crowdsource insurance coverage for SMEs and provides financing of up to 75%, if I'm not mistaken, of the total premiums payable to the insurer. Can you maybe explain more about this and what's the take-up like?
Oh, sure. Thank you. That's a great question. We are the only peer-to-peer financing platform out there that's offering insurance premium financing. The reason we do this is that we find that, if you look at the statistics in 2019, more than 50% of the SMEs are either uninsured or underinsured. What more today after 1.5 years of business disruption? So, one could only imagine if you have had insurance in place, could it had mitigated the business disruption risk 2 years ago before the pandemic hit. So our intention is to make sure that this doesn't happen again by providing a facility or a financing product that is specially designed for all SMEs across the board where they can take up this financing. So the benefit for them is that instead of paying that lump sum premiums upfront to the insurance company, they can actually we will actually crowd finance the premiums for them, and then they can pay us back on a monthly basis. So this would help in terms of their cash flow, where they will be able to conserve their cash flow for other capital requirements, while ensured that their protection is in place. So they no longer, in this case, they no longer need to, you know, delay, reduce, or even forego their coverage. So we just come talk to us and you know, go onto our platform, and immediately we'll give you a proposal for the financing.
Okay. And also in recent budget tabled by the government, it was mentioned that an additional funding has been allocated for this industry from 50 million ringgit in 2019 to the 80 million ringgit for next year. Also an exemption of stamp duty over the next 5 years. What's your take on this, especially in the post-pandemic environment? How will it further help the industry to thrive?
Great question. The 50 million allocation that you mentioned is part of the Malaysia Co-Investment Fund, or also known as the MySafe program. How the program works is that it is co-invested by the government of Malaysia on a ratio of 1-4. So for every 1 ringgit that the government puts in, or the government will put in 1 ringgit for every 4 ringgit that we raise from the crowd. So this program started in October 2019 with a 50 million allocation, and in 2020 there was an additional allocation of 50 million. The impact or the result of this program has been very successful, because if you look at the report at the end of 2020, more than 5,300 equity crowd financing and peer-to-peer financing campaigns were successfully invested through this MySafe program. This impacted more than 1,100 micro, small, and medium enterprises, and on a cumulative basis or combined basis, it raised 596 million. Because of the success of this, the government had proposed to continue support to support this equity crowdfunding and peer-to-peer financing with an additional allocation of 80 million in this year's budget under the matching grant for the Malaysian Co-Investment Fund. So if we assume that the investment premise is would be the same, where the ratio is at 1-4, typically, then you can say that with the 80 million co-fund allocated, you can potentially raise up to another 400 million for both the equity crowdfunding or peer-to-peer market before taking into account any multiplier effect. So this is a great boost to the economy. As such, we always encourage all the micro, small, and medium enterprises out there to consider peer-to-peer or equity crowd financing as an alternative financing if they are in the market looking to raise capital. And as you mentioned, in addition to that, there is that 100% stamp duty exemption to be given to P2P financing agreements for the next 5 years. So this would translate to additional cost savings at about 5,000 ringgit for every 1 million ringgit raise. So please take advantage of this, apply through us or apply through any of the P2P crowd financing platform or the equity crowd financing platform, depending on your funding requirements.
I want to get your point of view, Paul, if that's possible. We've seen many SMEs weren't able to service their debt, and also certainly the NPL is slightly higher for certain banks despite the moratorium. Now that we have an initiative called UROS under the AKPK and banks, do you see that this signals an alarm about the risk of more default payment for P2P especially?
Okay, that's a very interesting question. We have safeguards in place let's put it this way. I think every P2P player out there have their own way of assessing credit. In our case, we have certain safeguards in place when we do extend up a facility. So our approach has always been not to avoid risk, but to know how to manage risk. This is usually mitigated with perhaps some collateral in place, if that's available. Otherwise, there could be other credit enhancement methodology that we will apply in terms of structuring the financing. I'll give you an example: the interest premium financing program that we launched. At any one point in time, if there's a default, we basically would trigger a cancellation clause on the policy and recoup the remaining unearned premiums on the policy to pay back to our investors. In this case, the recovery risk is predicated on the AAA, AA, or single A rated insurance company, which means then the investment that the investors are doing is very much, in a way, capital protected. So to answer your question, we do not see the alarm bells are not ringing at this moment. So far, in terms of the default rate, it has still been very consistent, has stayed consistently low among the platform players. So we are hopeful that we will be able to ride through this this storm as we go along.
All right, Paul, thank you so much for spending time with us. Really appreciate your time. Itu tadi pengasas platform P2P, co-founder iaitu Paul Kwan. Kita membincangkan tentang P2P financing, satu idea dan juga inisiatif yang sangat menarik. Kalau kita melihat, inilah industri yang semakin berkembang. Ini juga dalam keadaan semasa ini, kita melihat bagaimana tekanan dihadapi oleh PKS, bagaimana ia memberikan peluang kepada PKS untuk mereka mendapatkan pembiayaan dan sebagainya. Sekian saja, Negawani untuk jam ini. Saya Najib Arof. Assalamualaikum dan salam hormat.